Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 1, 2, 3. The first two don't have a purport, so I'll just read. Vandenam Tat Bhutaisvaryam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum Nityopi Yat Prasadachat Bhakti Shastra Pravartaka. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has unlimited wonderful opulences. By his mercy, even a person born as the lowest of man can spread the science of devotional service. Tishrada Gopinath ki jai. Verse 2 is a well-known verse. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 3. Eta. Here. Gaude. In Bengal, Sanatana, Sanatana Goswami, Ache was Bandisale in prison. Sri Rupa Goshanira of Srila Rupa Goswami. Patri, the letter, Aila, came. Henakale, at that time. Read the verse. Eta gode sanatana ache bandishale. Sri Rupa Goshanira Patri Aila Enakale. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. While Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned in Bengal, a letter arrived from Sri Rupa Goswami. Just repeat. While Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned in Bengal, a letter arrived from Srila Rupa Goswami. Purport. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur informs us that this letter from Rupa Goswami to Sanatana Goswami is mentioned by the annotator of Udbhata Chandrika. So Rupa Goswami wrote a note to Sanatana Goswami from Bakla. This note indicated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Mathura, and it stated, Yadupate Ikva Gata Mathura Puri Raghupate Igva Ghatottara Koshala Iti Vichintya Kurusva Manastiram Nasati Dam Jagat Iti Avadarya. Translation. Whereas the Mathura Puri of Yadupati Gon, whereas the northern Koshala of Raghupati Gon, by reflection make the mind steady, thinking this universe is eternal. It's not eternal. Yes, thank you. So, after Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan, he meets and instructs Sri Rupa Goswami. So both these chapters, the Lord instructs Sri Rupa Goswami and the Lord instructs Sri Sanata Goswami, they are both very important to us. Sometimes the terminology is used that we are Rupanugas, that we are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. And there is a special meaning in that, because we are, of course, followers of Lord Krishna, we are followers of Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, he has invested his potency, especially in specific devotees such as Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanata Goswami. And therefore, they are on our path back home, back to Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanata Goswami are very instrumental. So it is also very important to see how Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu has empowered these devotees, because by themselves at least they were active as in the Muslim government. They were helping the Muslim ruler, who had a complete different lifestyle, in his activities. And first, Sri Rupa Goswami, he gave up his job with the Muslim ruler. He retired. And at that time, the Muslim ruler, he kind of accepted, he didn't like it, but there is not so much he could do. Then later, when Sanatana Goswami wanted to do the same, then he was not going to accept that. And this Usain Shah, he didn't like this decision of Sanatana Goswami. He didn't like the decision of Sri Rupa Goswami either, but some or other, he retired and he couldn't do so much about it. It is said that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, and even my own self are not as dear to me as the gopis. So here is Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Of all gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the most exalted servitors of Srimati Radharani. And Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, Those who adhere to their service are Rupanuha devotees. So when Sri Rupa Goswami met Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, then at first they offered their obeisances from a distance because they felt themselves very, very unqualified. And because of their Muslim background, they felt themselves contaminated, untouchables. And they didn't want the Lord to touch them. And therefore, they offered first, they took straw in their teeth and offered obeisances from a distance. But then the Lord motioned that they should come forward. And he even spoke a few very relevant verses in that regard on the level of who is qualified to associate with the Lord. And the first statement Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu said after telling them, "Stand up, my dear Rupa, come here." Then he said, "It is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy that he has delivered both of you from the well of material enjoyment." And then Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service." So in other words, this means that the Lord is not impressed by one's physical coming from a Brahmana family, or even the Lord is not impressed necessarily if somebody is a learned scholar but he doesn't have the right attitude. "Even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am." So after speaking these verses, by which he immediately puts things right, because they are very hesitant, the brothers are very hesitant to, you know, to come in contact with somebody as pure as Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Lord says, no, come, please come. And then he makes this understanding, he levels the understanding. "Look, you know, what is important is your purity, not where you come from, not the knowledge you may have if you are puffed up about it," between brackets. Knowledge can be very important and is very important, but if one is puffed up about it and doesn't have the right understanding and realizations of the knowledge, then it is not that important, doesn't have that effect. Because as Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu states, even if somebody is from a dog eater's family, if he has the right attitude and takes up devotional service sincerely and purely, then he is more elevated than somebody who has such a good karma, so to say. And then, after saying this, he is embracing Sri Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam, who is also called Vallabha. So then, they are very happy with this, and they speak some words of praise to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Vallabha Bhattacharya, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and he was very eager to meet the Lord. And they started talking, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also induced him to speak. And so Vallabha Bhattacharya, he also continued, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also continued in the same line. He said to see what was going to be the reaction of Vallabha Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said towards Sri Rupa Goswami, "Don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste." And then he said to Vallabha Bhattacharya, because he was from a very high caste, but he was from a very high caste, but in the right way. He also had the realizations and the purity and the lifestyle and the, you know, and the right understanding. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested him like that. "Don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. And you are a follower of Vedic principles, and you are a very well experienced performer of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy." But then Vallabhacharya said, hearing the holy name constantly vibrated by the two brothers, Vallabha Bhattacharya could understand the hints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vallabha Bhattacharya admitted, "Since these two are constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna, how can they be untouchable? On the contrary, they are most exalted." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear that understanding from his devotee, Vallabha Bhattacharya, that he picked up on his remark. Not that he said, "Oh yes, he is untouchable, I will not touch him." No, on the contrary, he said, how can that be? If they are all the time engaged in chanting the Lord's holy names, how can they be untouchable? And then Vallabha Bhattacharya recited another verse. It's a little long, but it also explains very nicely. "My dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue," he's speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "becomes greater than an initiated Brahmana. Although he may be born in a family of dog eaters and may therefore be by material calculation, he might be the lowest amongst men, he is still glorious. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is therefore concluded that one who chants the holy name of the Lord should be understood to have performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices, as mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all holy places of pilgrimage. He has studied all the Vedas, and he is actually an Aryan." So he brings forward this verse, and he says not only that they are elevated personalities who take to devotional service, but he also It's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse also includes the statement that those who take to the chanting of the holy name, they already have come in contact with the holy places, they already have done sacrifices in their, in other words, in their previous lives. They have already taken their bath in holy places of pilgrimage. They already have studied the Vedas previously. In other words, it's not by accident, although the mercy aspect is there. So then Vallabha Bhattacharya, after meeting the Lord, he invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. He had his residence, being like a high class gentleman, he had his residence at the other side of the Yamuna. So he took the Lord together with Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam. They went to the house. So then once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had already previously shown some ecstatic symptoms, once he was on the boat and he saw the Yamuna, the blackish water, then he had difficulties with his ecstatic feelings. And at once he jumped into the Yamuna. So then they were in panic. He shouted and he jumped in the Yamuna. So then they from the boat, they pulled Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back in the boat, but by touching the Yamuna, he was even more in ecstasy. So even when he was on the boat, he started dancing on the platform of the boat. At the boats in India, they have some platform. So then he started dancing and the boat started to shake and water started to come in. And they were very, very worried. They pulled out the water as much as they could, but was a whole Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had difficulties to restrain his ecstasy. So then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that he was giving some anxiety to the other, besides the boatman, to also the other devotees, then he kind of subdued his external ecstatic symptoms. And then they, some or other, although there was some real danger at some point, they reached the other shore and then went to the house of Vallabha Bhattacharya, where his family received Lord Chaitanya nicely, with food washing, with offering paraphernalia to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then followed by a meal. And then after the meal, then Vallabha Bhattacharya was very eager to offer the Lord a place for resting. And while he was resting, he was massaging his legs, his feet, and he was very eager to get the mercy of the Lord in that way. So then the Lord told him, no, no, you take prasadam. Shishira the Gopinath ki. He told Vallabha Bhattacharya, the Lord told him, just go and take your prasadam. So then they did that. And then there was another gentleman, another devotee who came, Rahupati. Rahupati Upadhyaya. He was a learned scholar and a great devotee and also a respectable gentleman, a little bit in the line of Vallabha Bhattacharya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw him, he gave him immediately his blessings. He said, may you always stay in Krishna consciousness. So this is nice blessings, nice greetings. If you meet somebody, we can wish that, and if we are pure, then it will also have some effect. So definitely when the Lord says, may you always stay in Krishna consciousness, that is a great greeting, a great blessing also at the same time. So then he asked Rahupati to say something about Krishna. And Rahupati was very happy because he also made some proses, he made his own verses a little bit, and he also quoted from the scriptures in relation to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And one of the verses he said, those who are afraid of material existence, they worship Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries to Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharata. As far as I am concerned, I worship Maharaj Nanda, the father of Krishna, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing. And then the Lord asked him to say more. And then he said, to whom can I speak? Who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of the river Yamuna? In this way, the Lord demonstrates his pastimes. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, who is the most foremost being? And then Rahupati said, Lord Shyamasundar is the supreme form. Of all Krishna's abodes, which do you think is the best? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked. And he said, Mathura Dham is certainly the best. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, from which of the three ages of Krishna is the best? He said, childhood, boyhood, fresh youth, which do you consider the best? And Rahupati said, fresh youth is the best age. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, among all the mellows, which do you consider best? And Rahupati said, the mellow of conjugal love is supermost. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resumed everything in one verse. The form of Shyamasundara is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon. And the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced it all in one verse. And because of this discussion also, the mind and body of the Lord slackened. Rahupati saw the ecstatic symptoms in the Lord's body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Rahupati to continue speaking about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus the Lord was absorbed in ecstatic love, and his mind and body slackened. And Sri Prabhupada explains, our minds and bodies are always engaged in material activities. But when they are activated on the spiritual platform, they slacken on the material platform. So our minds and bodies are always engaged in material activities. When they are activated on the spiritual platform, they slacken on the material platform. So then, so many people came to the house of Vallabha Bhattacharya that he started to think, we have to get out of here because just too many people are coming to my house and it's becoming unmanageable. He wanted to protect the Lord. At the same time, he didn't want to cross again the Yamuna, because he had a little traumatic experience, and the Lord was now even more in ecstasy due to the talks he had with his nice devotees, with himself, with Vallabha Bhattacharya, and also with Rahupati. So then he thought, okay, let's go to Prayag. And since Prayag is the confluence of three rivers, so let's take the boat on the other side rather than go back where they were coming from. Let's go to the other side where the Ganga was. So then they took the boat by the Ganga. They took the boat to Prayag in order to protect the Lord from too many people wanting to see him. So then they did that, and there in Prayag, they looked for some peaceful place to stay. And in that place, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually instructed Srila Rupa Goswami. And it was both. It was instructing and empowering him. There are several verses here related to that the Lord is doing both. He's empowering Srila Rupa Goswami and he's also instructing Srila Rupa Goswami. But we can see from these verses that the empowerment is naturally very important aspect. It's not just instructions. Instructions are important, but empowerment will give the ability to Sri Rupa Goswami to really play that role in the world as the person who sets the philosophy right. And because as we know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't leave much writings. It was very limited what he left. But he empowered and instructed a few devotees, and Sri Rupa Goswami in the first place, so that he could set the philosophical teachings for the future of Krishna consciousness for the world. So that's what he did in this place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sri Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Lord Krishna, the truth about devotional service, and the truth about transcendental mellows, consummating in conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Finally, he told Rupa Goswami about the ultimate conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Rai and duly empowered him so that he could understand them. Another verse which makes the empowerment very clear. By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the cyclic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another verse, in the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. So he also, one of their missions was to re-establish the Krishna's pastimes in Mathura Vrindavan because they were almost lost. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he went there, he himself pointed out where Radhakund was and a few other places. But there were so many places of pastimes which have been later revealed by the Goswamis, which were more or less lost in over the thousands of years which had passed, over the 4,500 years. So Srila Rupa Goswami was given this task, and Sanatana Goswami was given this task to re-establish all these important places of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and also the philosophy, and also the essence of devotion service, and the conclusive understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because as we know, Srimad Bhagavatam is very important scripture, but without spiritual guidance, we would get lost. That's why the service Prabhupada did, by giving his purports to the world, is essential. Otherwise, we would get lost in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We would not really understand. And he, Sri Prabhupada, did it completely in line with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and Sri Rupa Goswami's philosophical understanding and guidance. So the acharyas are completely in line with that philosophical understanding. And this is very powerful. And in this way, the purity of the teachings remain. And we, although being very conditioned, we can also get that mercy and that deep understanding of the scriptures by the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas, and in the first place Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will stop here. I didn't say much about that short purport here in text 3. So Sri Prabhupada quotes that verse, whereas the Mathura Puri of Yadupati Gon, whereas the northern Kushala of Raghupati Gon. So this is refers, whereas the Mathura Puri of Yadupati Gon, this refers to whereas Lord Krishna gone, and whereas the northern Kushala of Raghupati gone, this refers to Lord Ramachandra. By reflection, make the mind steady, thinking the universe is not eternal. So this this is a stimulating letter towards Sanatana Goswami in order to make arrangements to become free and to join as soon as possible Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the meaning of that letter that Sri Rupa Goswami writes to his brother, Sri Sanatana Goswami, who then, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, and that we will see later, will become free from his entanglement with his duties as serving under a Muslim ruler. Any comments, questions, discussion? Yes, please. Well, the empowerment, as far as I understand, the empowerment comes by following the instructions of the Acharya. That's why, in one sense, of course, it's very important also to associate with a pure devotee. But those devotees, even disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who had not such an opportunity, they could, or they are able to become empowered by following Sri Prabhupada's instructions. Although they were not able, because there were so many devotees, so naturally some devotees were able, some devotees were very close, and from them we can hear or read their realizations from being with Sri Prabhupada, but others they were not either they had occasional association with Sri Prabhupada, or they did not have direct personal association or personal instruction. But since Sri Prabhupada said everything is in my books, so then and since he made it very clear what his instructions were, he actually very rarely gave devotees like personal, specific instructions. This was only a few handful devotees who got personal instructions. And of course, these instructions he gave personally, they are very important in the life of that particular devotee. But for those who did not get these very personal instructions, the his general instructions, his teachings, are in the books and in the lectures he gave, and by following these instructions, even for us, by following these instructions, we become empowered. This is the door to empowerment, is basically following these instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, and which are now continued by his disciples and even grand disciples who start to take up the service of spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru for ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has been established as the Shiksha Guru for all ISKCON. And we have our Diksha Guru, and we have Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru. So that guidance is there, and these instructions are there, and on the level of it's of course a very, you are touching a very difficult point, in the sense even in this same chapter Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that to Srila Rupa Goswami, how out of many liberated out of many people, many millions of people, there are a smaller amount of persons who may come to the liberated level. But out of these people who come to the liberated level, out of the many millions amongst them, it's difficult to find one pure devotee. That's how more or less it's stated there. So, but that, as I say, that, you know, that leads that can lead to, and has in the past led to, like, difficult discussion. Yeah, but what is this? Can we then make it, etc. But Srila Prabhupada is our preeminent Shiksha Guru, and we have our Diksha Guru, and, you know, and Srila Prabhupada makes plenty of statements that if we follow his instructions and the instructions of our spiritual master, that we will be allowed to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. So, of course, to be able to associate with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, it is a great mercy. At the same time, every day we are offering Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada. Every day we are reading his ecstasies, his purports. So the mercy is directly there. We are not, in that sense, we are not lacking. We have. We got the mercy in that way. So we'll stop here. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaur Premanande.